word, translated professing, epangelo, means to make a public announcement. Any woman who has made a public announcement about her commitment to the Lord should conduct herself in a manner consistent with such a profession. Godliness, Greek theos ebaia, has the basic meaning of reverence to God. When a person claims to be a Christian, he or she is claiming to worship and serve God. Any woman who claims to serve and worship God should conduct herself in godliness. To do otherwise would bring reproach on the name of Christ. A woman cannot claim to fear God and yet disregard what His Word says about her behavior. She cannot contradict God's design for her in the church and yet claim to love Him. The desecration of a woman's testimony. Verse 10 points out a major problem with the contemporary feminist movement in the church. A woman who wants to serve and honor God cannot show disregard for what He says in His Word about the role of women. The substance of a woman's testimony. The testimony of a woman professing godliness is a life of good works. Righteous deeds demonstrate the genuineness of her faith. The same is true for men. The concept of a woman's testimony is critical. However, in this passage, Paul mentions it only briefly. He then continues in verses 11 through 12 with a discussion of his next concern, one with enormous ramifications that extends throughout this chapter of our discussion and into the next. The role of women, verses 11 through 12. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Paul continues his discussion of women's duties by defining their role as learners rather than teachers during the public worship. Although they are not to be the public teachers in that context, neither are women to be shut out of the learning process, as generally happened in ancient times. The Greek word translated learn, manthano, is in the imperative mood, indicating it is a command. Paul commanded that women be taught. Since this section of 1 Timothy is discussing how the church is to conduct itself, see chapter 3, verse 15, the learning is to take place when the church meets. We see from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that learning was a high priority when the early church met. Paul commanded that women be a part of the learning process. Despite the claims of some to the contrary, teaching and worship are not mutually exclusive. Rather, knowledge of God and His Word helps to stimulate worship. Worship is to be in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. One of the problems in the Ephesian church was that some Jewish believers were still holding on to their Judaism. They were preoccupied with genealogies, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Some desired to be recognized as teachers of the law, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Jewish tradition of that day had a low view of women. They were not usually given opportunities to learn. They were not forbidden to come to the synagogue, but they were not encouraged to come either. Most rabbis refused to greet women in public and believed that teaching them was a waste of time. Thus, although women were not completely forbidden to learn, they were not encouraged to do so either. The Jewish view of teaching women no doubt led to a certain amount of suppression of them in the church at Ephesus. In reaction to that extreme position, some of the women were determined to rise to leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, says women were teaching and exercising authority over men.